We are SC Podcast, Gary Paskowitz and Daryl Rideau. And Daryl, we are going to sit here and talk some secondary today because somebody had posed a question recently in the We Are SC mailbag. And it really struck me, and I wanted to talk it through with you. The question was asked, when you look at all the talent in the USC secondary right now in the defensive backfield, the talent that's here right now, the talent that's going to be here in the fall, assuming that everybody's healthy, everybody's eligible, Jackie Jones, if you look at all the talent that's going to be there, is this the most talent in the secondary on paper that SC has ever had? I think the answer is a half yes, half no. Give your thoughts to the initial question.
It is. It's a great question and one that takes a lot of thought and consideration, because when you think of the great defensive backs, you typically, when you think of SC, first comes to mind is not necessarily the corner position, it's safeties. Mm-hmm. So when you isolate in the secondary and just talk about corners, plural, okay, and not cornerbacks as an individual, because collectively, when you talk about the depth, Gary, that brings on a whole new meaning than just considering guys like Adoree Jackson, mm-hmm. or if I had to go back even further than that, some that may come to mind for years would have been a guy like Jason Sehorn. My upper echelon would have been Daylon McCutcheon and Brian Kelly as being a pair, okay? And then even more recently under the Pete Carroll era, guys like Will Poole mm-hmm. and Terrell Thomas made significant impacts in this program. But when I think about the cornerback position and the depth and the quality of versatility that this group has, by far, this may be the most talented group of cornerbacks that USC has ever had at one given time. And you mentioned, barring all equal, being that everyone comes in healthy, everyone uh-huh. comes in eligible to compete. Right. When you think about the versatility of this group, it ranges from guys that can play great man coverage, guys that are such as, for me, it's Greg Johnson, maybe Jackie Jones, who I think of as guys that can just line up, twist their hips, and Griffin coming in, and this great 6'3 of a frame, the freshman coming in, Isaiah Taylor Stewart, you talked about out of the San Diego area. Those guys, just from a body length standpoint, lining them up and watching them, the way that they're able to flip their hips and transition in coverage, gives this coaching staff and this defensive coaching staff in particular a lot of flexibility. But then when you think of guys like the Jonathan Lockett entering into his fifth season, and a Janae Harris, their ability as corners to play in the slot and to play great instinctive zone coverage mm-hmm. and read and key the quarterback. I've never seen a collection of talent that gives you that kind of versatility. And oh, by the way, when it talks about sizing up and fitting run coverage, you know, think no more than Iman Biggie Marshall, who's built like a safety playing the corner position. So when I go across the board and I think about the versatility, Gary, I would have to say that this is by far the most talent that the cornerback position has been blessed with. Most of the time you see these guys transitioning out into other positions, mm-hmm. but collectively they're deep and they run at least three or four levels deep.
What's the old adage? A man's opinion is only worth his experience on that topic. And yeah. So when you're talking the USC cornerback position and the depth and how it matches up,
right.
Yeah. To say this might be the best collection of talent ever at one time, pay attention on that one. Let me ask you this question in terms of, we're going to break down the positions and how the guys fit in there.
Yep.
But I want to ask you in terms of Clancy Pendergast, because Clancy, obviously he has a way of doing things, and I love that. He's secure in who he is as a
sure.
coach.
Yeah.
He has not rotated a lot. That's one of his things. He has his comfort level with his guys, and he tends to stick with them. When you have this kind of depth and this versatility, so I want to ask two questions. Yeah. The ability to go in and out from man to zone coverage, how he can do that in practical purposes, but also how he might rotate more. How what kind of advantages now does this give Clancy Pendergast with yeah. what he can do? Fresher legs? Is that, you know, how many ways does that impact what he does?
Well, the initial adage is, yes, fresher legs, especially when teams like to go this high-speed, high-tempo mm-hmm. Type of offense, this RPO offense that we can see upwards of 75 to 100-plus plays. Mm-hmm. yeah, having fresh legs rotating in. But for me, whenever I think of Clancy and the experience that that he has as a defensive coordinator, I think of the trust in him lies in when I put a combination of players together, I want to be able to trust them, if I'm Clancy Pendergast, that they are going to be where they're supposed to be, do what they're supposed to do. Now, the reason why I would give a lot more credence to watching a rotation in the secondary and allowing for the players to maybe even legislate their own rotation is because of the body of work. Going back now for about 3 years, this group, the core of this group has been together. And the way that they communicate in practice leads me to believe that younger guys rotating in, like a Chase Williams, into a secondary, they are going to be able to communicate effectively amongst each other. So with that trust, here's what it does for someone like Clancy. Already, the way that this defense is designed, it actually features five defensive backs, two safeties, two corners, and a nickel. Mm-hmm. That nickel can either take on the frame of a safety or, in most cases, with the Janae Harris, an extra cornerback that you trust that could tackle. So when you talk about being able to go from an over or an under front or man to zone coverage and being able to flip the switch, I think what this does is having this kind of versatility allows for Clancy to have 2 6-2 corners that could play man-to-man coverage or bring in a 6-3 corner, a younger guy inside the red zone to line up against 6-4 to 6-7 safeties, have that vertical range, being able to line up and give you some matchups that perhaps you didn't have in the past. The things that maybe stunted the defense is under Pete Carroll is he recruited guys my size, 5 foot nothings, who can play in space, but closer in the end, the red zone, he was forced to convert guys like William Buchanan and Marcel Allman, wide receivers converting over to larger corners. USC doesn't have that problem anymore because now they're recruiting the luxury of wide receiver or guys who might have played wide receiver but are committing themselves to play in corner at this level.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that's a trend that we're seeing more and more? I do at the high school level. Athletes with size are understanding if you can do this, if you can play this position, you can do quite well over here.
And I attribute that to guys that might have been seventh or eighth on the bench in basketball converting over to larger wide receivers, either, you know, small forwards, power forwards who believe that they can become tight end slash wide receivers are forcing the traditional size receivers who are finding it hard to get on the field are now flipping over, utilizing those ball skills, and we're now seeing rangier corners and rangier corners with length inside the red zone give you a tremendous advantage as a corner because the margin for errors are now greater for you to make plays because quarterbacks are having a hard time throwing into smaller windows. But when I think about that type of versatility that we're discussing now, being able to interchangeably go from a man coverage to a zone coverage is very difficult sometimes and challenging for corners who may have developed certain skill sets being in man-to-man, which is one of the hardest things to do, is to mirror someone running backwards and flip your hips and then transition downhill. But equally as difficult is playing in space, understanding depth and alignment, understanding the route tree. How is the quarterback trying to attack you now that most quarterbacks that USC goes up against starts off not under center anymore, but in a shotgun position. So now reading the new three-step, the new five-step, forces corners to have to be smarter, almost like geometry. You got to understand your angles. You got to understand how to take the hypotenuse angle between point A and B. You better be there at C in your alignment so that you can take that hypotenuse angle and disrupt downhill. Guys on this players within this program, and I go back to what Janae Harris and Jonathan Lockett are very savvy. They understand the route tree, and they understand how to effectively disrupt passes in zone coverage. So what does that do for a guy that's a traditional man cover corner like Greg Johnson or Isaiah Langley?
Right.
What that does for them is it gives them teachable moments. In practice, they can visualize great instinctive zone coverage guys and then share those best practices when they line up in press coverage. So because you can almost create a teach tape clinic if you're Ronnie Bradford, and your coach in the secondary, you have so many different body types that you can line up against a shiftier slot receiver, or you can line up corners now when teams try to flex out larger tight ends. You don't have to take guys off the field to bring in another safety who may be at a disadvantage from an athletic standpoint. Mm-hmm. So that type of versatility also allows for this defense to play a dime coverage, bringing on a sixth defensive player, whether that's a safety or a corner, mm-hmm. and not have to give up body mass. Because when you talk about the likes of a Biggie Marshall, who's over 200 pounds, mm-hmm. he virtually is another safety on the football field. Right. And with the amount, and the one thing that you can't take away from him is the amount of experience he's accumulated going up against shiftier receivers and butting up against tight ends. So because Clancy has that type of depth and also experience, he should feel confident to treat them like an NFL veteran secondary that's been around for quite some mm-hmm. time. Feel more comfortable to take chances. And the trust factor comes in the fact that he understands, because he has body of work now on film, Gary, he understands how they're going to react and play. So I would not be surprised if we saw a rotation. And with that rotation, it's not a drop-off, but like bringing on fresh legs, igniting production. Where did we see this production last year? Look no further than Akili Ross. When he stepped in for servable minutes for a Janae Harris at the slot position and was able to disrupt, even get an interception, and really make some key plays in a short amount of time.
And Healy's a perfect example. You were just mentioning, you know, do you put a pseudo safety, a corner? Akili basically rotated back and forth between those two spots. Half the time he was behind a Jane A at the slot receiver, at the slot corner role. Half the time he was lined up, you know, next to Marvell Tell, competing for a starting safety spot.
But like I said, for me, guys that, as a fan, we fell in love with recruits like Greg Johnson, mm-hmm. who's yet to really showcase his skill set in game-like situations. But make no mistake about it, if he is healthy, he can cause havoc in the secondary, and he's a bookend. His body style and type reminds me, in terms of the physicality that he plays at the point of attack, does remind me personally a lot of Brian Kelly and his skill set. And opposite of Brian Kelly was a little smaller, uh-huh. was Dalen McCutcheon, but an exceptional talent at that position. Well, guess what? You're talking about now the way that USC recruits. I can safely say that on the in the weight room, locker room, under the category of defensive backs, my name will forever be etched in sand as a defensive back, either lifting, bench pressing, or power cleaning, because USC will not recruit 5'9 corners anymore. So I'm okay with where I stand, but the way that they're recruiting now, much of the defensive backs are like 5'11 and a half to 6'2, 6'3 in that range. What I'm excited to see most is as they gel and as they go up against the likes of a Washington State, mm-hmm. Teams that want to prolifically spread the ball, how well they can match up across the line and just basically match up body types. You got a smaller receiver, let me bring in somebody a little bit more shiftier, mm-hmm. Like in a Janae Harris, who can cover you in space. You want to try to muscle me up, Stanford, you want to try to muscle me up, Notre Dame, who prolifically, brings in taller, bigger mm-hmm. tight ends. You can line up Biggie Marshall if you're looking for those type of matchups, if you see a receiver flexed out. So that type of versatility you can't simulate anywhere other than USC because of the type of depth that they've been able to recruit. And give credit to this group for sticking together and not, fleeing to the NFL or attempting to flee to the NFL early. That experience travels downhill.
And that's, to me, is the point about this group when we're talking the corner group. Let's assume everybody does come back. And like you say, if Jackie is out there, that's a 2-year stretch. You just don't get experience like this too often, because you just don't have a couple 3-year starters, 2-year starter. It's a rare time when you have this much experience, so I am appreciating it. Let's go. You have another point to make?
One more thing, Gary. I just happened to glance at the depth chart, uh-huh. and I don't know where Jakari Godfrey, where he is in terms of, in the program, so I'm curious to hear about that. But I'm just looking at his body frame, 6'2", 185 pounds, and he's only a redshirt freshman.
And it's another guy who, like you say, it's they probably erred on the side of caution with his size.
Yeah.
He's a tremendous athlete. He was hurt. It was a great group of corners last year, and they chose to bring in him and Greg Johnson. Like you say, you've loved Greg Johnson from day one.
Yeah.
I'll always remember that. Jay Godfrey, I'm really intrigued by because of that body frame. He was banged up a little bit this spring. Probably was out there a third of the practices.
Yep.
When you see him out there every now and then, you see a flash, and you're like, yep, okay, that's why they recruited him.
Right.
Can't wait to see it consistently.
But I want to make a point. All camp, or at least all spring camp, we couldn't help but marvel and talk about just the leap that the secondary has made.
Yes.
In terms of the leadership,
mm-hmm,
the type of turnovers that they're causing, if you can make the one can make the argument that last year the secondary, as much experience as they brought back, was the Achilles heel of the defense, and at times they didn't create enough turnovers based on the amount of pressure that the quarterback saw. You can't say that this year. At least what we're seeing now, the versatility, the ball skills of this secondary makes them exceptional, and I would not be surprised if they're amongst the top five in the country in terms of turnovers.
Because that's interesting that you say that, because there is a counterpoint on the message boards when people talk about, boy, the secondary looks good. Clay Helton says, what group jumped out at you the most this spring? And he quickly says the DBs. There are people on the message boards who will say, it's a lot of the same guys from last year.
Mm.
Why is it not just going to be them a year older making the same mistakes out there?
And that's a great point, okay? Competition brings out the best in you, and it either bursts pipes, pressure bursts pipes, or create diamonds. And what I'm seeing right now is a newfound commitment to cleaning up details by Iman Marshall,
mm-hmm,
who was always susceptible to pass interferences because he was getting play-action passes, okay? Well, there's been enough body of work for him to understand how to adjust to that. But last year, he could be comfortable knowing that he wasn't going to be replaced because maybe perhaps the freshman coming in terms of understanding of the defense, wasn't quite there to challenge him. Jack Jones, I hate to say it, but, you know, if academics keeps or prevents you from being the best version of yourself on the football field, make no mistake about it, you're going to get Wally pipped. Guys like Greg Johnson, guys like Isaiah Langley are now getting much needed extra, mm-hmm, reps that, mm-hmm, that are going to benefit them this upcoming season. We haven't even talked about the two freshmen. We briefly touched on them coming in who should compete for some time too. So I think depth creates great competition, which forces defensive backs to be on their toes and play at a high level all the time. So the difference for me is, this team, because they are a year older, a year more experienced, and guys that were on the bench who weren't trusted enough to be in game situations are now having opportunities to display their talent and will show that range on the field this year, which will benefit the secondary.
And it's going to be interesting. So that's the corner spot. If we're going to go talk about safety,
yep,
and we're going to say, you know, is this – on paper, where do they rank? No, they're not up there with those other great groups that we've seen at safety. Lott Smith, Carrier Coulter, yeah, whoever was next to Troy,
yeah,
in your time there. Didn't matter who it was. That yeah, combo was going to be good as long as Troy was in there.
Absolutely.
But, Daryl, you have Marvell Tell, who,
yes,
we use that word experience again.
Mm-hmm.
He's that veteran out there, and you see it. He knows what he's doing, and that's a physical, intimidating presence back there. Nothing set next to him.
Nothing, yeah.
Bubba Bolden was, yep, you were out there first, but when Isaiah Polamau is healthy in the fall, I'm not ruling him out.
Yep.
Talanoa Hufanga, you're going to put him in the mix in the fall.
You have to, yeah.
And then a C.J. Pollard, don't forget about him.
Don't forget about him. And you know what I love that you mentioned, Gary, is, and I don't think that the depth chart does C.J. Pollard any justice because at 6'1", his frame presents bigger than 185.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he may be closer pushing to 200. But the way that these safeties are able to play in space, again, this secondary under Clancy Pendergast in Bradford features five in the secondary. A nickel package is what, mm-hmm, we would call it. But I wouldn't be surprised if they walked into situations or games or in critical moments where we saw dime packages,
right,
just to get more bodies on the field, because this is a very talented group. And keeping them off the field is going to be challenging. And again, I'm not one to focus on putting negative pressure on guys, but bringing out the best in a Bubba Bolton who has to look over his shoulder because a true freshman coming in, Hufanga, is the next coming to Troy Polamalu in terms of instinctive and bringing that Polynesian flavor to a secondary. It's to me, what's remarkable about all of this is this depth can win a championship. This defense, if presented with opportunities of staying healthy and really gelling the way that they've demonstrated, Gary, could elevate the status or accelerate expectations for this team, regardless of who the quarterback is on the other side. Because I believe that the mantra for this year's team, based on what we're seeing, is going to be behind a strong running game, knowing that your defense not only can get you off the field on third downs into punt situations, but create turnovers and turn those turnovers into points.
Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to see how that gets impacted in the fall, because like you say, it's nice in the modern day era of the type of offenses that we face. Yeah, you're going to see more passing offenses, so we can do that, but you're going to play the Stanfords, you're going to play the Texases and Notre Dames, where you're going to be lining up man-to-man, man-to-man, and that's okay, let's go. We've got the guys like that.
Isn't that a great problem to have for this team?
That's why that when I saw the question, is this the best ever? Whether it is or not, and if it is, it's good.
Right.
It's talented. It's deep. You can put this secondary and have a realistic conversation like that. That's nice to walk into the season with that in our back pocket.
And the last thing I want to say about that is the margin for errors for allowing unforced pass interferences are over. Because you have so much depth, you can give a guy a breather, step off, and not allow for a team to generate false momentum because they're going up against the guy that they're trying to target. Those days might be over with by virtue of the amount of depth and versatility from this secondary.
Should be interesting to see as we get into fall. You've been listening to the We Are SC podcast. For Daryl Rideau, this is Gary Pasquitz. You're listening to We Are SC.